Aye. That's a consequence of being alive, the mage said. The dyer seemed to puzzle this over for a minute and then came right up to Sparrowhawk, seized his shoulders and bent over him. He moved so fast that Arryn could not prevent him, but Arryn did come up very close and so heard his whisper, I found the hole in the darkness. The king was standing there. He watches it. He rules it. He had a little flame, a little candle in his hand. He blew on it, and it went out. Then he blew on it again, and it burned. It burned. Sparrowhawk made no protest at being held and whispered at. He simply asked, Where were you when you saw that?
In bed? Dreaming? No.
Across the wall? No. The dyer said, in a suddenly sober tone and as if uncomfortable. He let the mage go and took a step back from him. No, I don't know where it is. I found it, but I don't know where. That's what I'd like to know, said Sparrowhawk.
I can help you.
How?
You have a boat. You came here in it, and you're going on.
Are you going on west?
That's the way. The way to the place where he comes out. There has to be a place here, because he's alive. Not just the spirits, the ghosts that come over the wall, not like that. You can't bring anything but souls over the wall, but this is the body. This is the flesh immortal.
I saw the flame rise in the darkness at his breath, the flame that was out. I saw that. The man's face was transfigured, a wild beauty in it in the long red-gold light. I know that he has overcome death. I know it. I gave my wizardry to know it. I was a wizard once, and you know it, and you are going there. Take me with you. The same light shone on Sparrowhawk's face, but left it unmoved and harsh. I am trying to go there, he said.
Let me go with you.
Sparrowhawk nodded briefly. If you're ready when we sail, he said, as coldly as before. The dyer backed away from him another step and stood watching him, the exultation in his face clouding slowly over until it was replaced by a strange, heavy look. It was as if reasoning, thought, were laboring to break through the storm of words and feelings and visions that confused him. Finally, he turned around without a word and began to run back down the road, into the haze of dust that had not yet settled on his tracks. Arryn drew a long breath of relief. Sparrowhawk also sighed, though not as if his heart were any easier. Well, he said, strange roads have strange guides. Let's go on. Arryn fell into step beside him.
You won't take him with us, he asked.
That's up to him.
With a flash of anger, Arryn thought, it's up to me also.
But he did not say anything, and they went on together in silence. They were not well received on their return to Sosara. Everything on a little island like Lorbanary is known as soon as it is done, and no doubt they had been seen turning aside to the dyer's house and talking to the madman on the road. The innkeeper served them uncivilly, and his wife acted scared to death of them. In the evening when the men of the village came to sit under the eaves of the inn, they made much display of not speaking to the foreigners and being very witty and merry among themselves. But they had not much wit to pass around and soon ran short of jollity. They all sat in silence for a long time, and at last the mayor said to Sparrowhawk, "Did you find your blue rocks?"
"I found some blue rocks," Sparrowhawk replied politely.
"Supply showed you where to find them, no doubt."
"Ha, ha, ha," went the other man at this master stroke of irony.
Supply would be the red-haired man.
"The madman.
You called on his mother in the morning."
I was looking for a wizard, said the wizard. The skinny man who sat nearest him spat into the darkness. What for? I thought I might find out about what I'm looking for. People come to Lorbanary for silk, the mayor said. They don't come for stones. They don't come for charms, or arm weavings and jibber-jabber and sorcerer's tricks. Honest folk live here and do honest work.
That's right. He's right, said the others. And we don't want any other sort here. People from foreign parts snooping about and prying into our business.
That's right. He's right, came the chorus. If there was any sorcerer around that wasn't crazy, we'd give him an honest job in the sheds, but they don't know how to do honest work.
They might, if there were any to do, said Sparrowhawk. Your sheds are empty. The orchards are untended. The silk in your warehouses was all woven years ago.
What do you do here in Lorbanary?
We look after our own business, the mayor snapped. But the skinny man broke in excitedly.
Why don't the ships come? Tell us that.
What are they doing in Horttown?